Take on second down. Herbert looking for a downfield shot. Loops it down there and wide open. Then the ball is knocked loose. The catch is made. And then the ball is knocked out of his hand. Jalen Reagor. The question is, did it go out of bounds or go through the end zone? Still having a conversation. It's going to be Arizona ball knocked loose by Starling Thomas.
You ever have one of those, that's not who I think it is moments? Last night I'm watching the Chargers and Cardinals, the ESPN Plus Monday Night game, and Hugh Herbert throws a bomb down the field. Guy's wide open, catches it. Guy's coming to tackle him right before he gets to the end zone. He tries to reach the hand over the goal line.
Yeah, like everybody does.
Ball in that knocked out through the end zone, out of bounds, and then they said the name, and I'm like, wait a second, is that
guy used to be here?
Is that R. Jalen Reagor?
Yeah, and he blew it.
Yeah, I think that was, from what I saw, it was the only time they threw him the ball. That was the end of that for Jalen Reagor.
You never touch the ball again.
He's a Charger now, and he's screwing up for them. So we saw an old friend last night in one of the Monday Night Football games. 215-592-9494. We'll check in on another friend, an old one, Jerry Jones. What he had to say last week in his radio appearance in Dallas, he threatened to fire the host. What is he saying today? We'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes. First, though, back to the phone lines. JD in Southwest Philly. What's up, JD?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, Jay. What's up?
How you doing?
All right. So I'm coming to Joel Embiid's defense. I'm tired of it, man. Like, I love the city born and raised here, but we are some of the most whiniest, entitled fans ever. Like, we want everything our way. Like, you know what you get when you make a 7'1", 280-pound center, your cornerstone franchise. The man has busted his ass for 10 years. 10 years, and he gets hurt, and he goes out there and plays all the time.
JD, can I stop you on your rear for a minute? Are you going to the game tomorrow?
No, I'm not going to the game tomorrow.
No, the reason why I'm asking, man, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but damn, dog, the dude just signed for $190 million. The buddy just came back from the Olympics. There's people out there, man, right now that they were excited to see their Olympian play in the first game, and he ain't playing. I mean, if that's how they feel, they got a right to feel that way.
Okay, but this is the thing, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. If it wasn't this, it would be something else, Hugh. They dogged this man. If it wasn't this, it would be something else. Trust me. I'm telling you, it would be. And the thing about it is, if we had any other coach in the world besides Nick Nurse, maybe I would kind of feel a certain type of way about this. Mm-hmm. But this is a man who got Kawhi Leonard on his team. Game managed him to a championship. The man knows what he's doing. He knows how to get his stars players to the playoffs healthy and ready to rock and roll. On top of that, this is a man who uses, you know, he's a teacher, he's a coach. He uses his time. He's not like Doc Rivers, who's just gonna be stuck to some old veteran that don't need to be on the floor and give him the minutes when his star players is not there. This is a man who developed Fred VanVleet. They know they don't win that championship without Fred.
So JD, I agree with you. I think Nurse is a really good coach, and I'm not even JD. I'm not even really that mad at Joel right now. The Sixers are the one that frustrate me, JD, because this doesn't make any sense. He played in the Olympics post the injury, right? He had the surgery. He came back. We know he wasn't 100% in the playoffs. Then he played in the Olympics. He played.
Yeah.
So what are we ramping up from? Either he's hurt again, which is a new problem, or he shouldn't have played in the Olympics because obviously he wasn't really fully through the rehab to get back. That the Sixers are the issue here more than just I'm annoyed at Joel. I'm like,
yeah.
If he's hurt, he's hurt. I can't do anything.
Most of the callers aren't killing the Sixers, though. Every time I hear it, all they call – fat, lazy, you don't deserve the money.
Yeah, I mean, people going to do that, man.
There's nobody killing the Sixers.
Yeah, but they're going to do that, though.
Well, I think the Sixers are more the issue.
Huh?
I think the Sixers have more of my frustration right now because they're not telling us the truth on this. I mean, that JD, that's it. And as far as the Embiid thing goes, are we going to start a season like this with the Embiid defenders running out of the woodwork again? Why?
Because I think – when I listen to the Embiid people that and shout out to JD, I feel like there are two different conversations that are being had. Because you have the one conversation, and I'm going to tell you at the end how I feel about this when I heard he wasn't playing. You have the one conversation where, just like JD, they're talking about why are you on this guy because he's a big guy and he's going to be injured all the time, but he gives his all. I get that side. I'm more on the side of, damn, I look at it like this. He just played in the Olympics. He was hurt at the end of the year. There was a conversation that was had about him getting ready for the upcoming season, because he said himself that a championship matters to him. So he goes and plays the Olympics, which I totally understand. I'm not mad at him for that, because I understand him wanting to play for his country. But the problem is this, and I think for a lot of people it's the timeline, is he signs for $190 million. Everything is peachy keen, where he's talking about in interviews and everything.
He lost weight.
Yeah, he's getting ready for the season. And now, right before the season starts, we come to find out he's not playing Wednesday. He ain't playing Friday. He ain't playing Sunday. Now, on the flip side of that, when I hear that, I'm thinking about the fan or the individual that probably worked his ass off to get tickets to see Joel Embiid play at the beginning of the season with his kids.
Yeah,
that's disappointing.
It is, and look, I understand if this is the best way they're going to try to do this, and they're going to not play him back-to-backs because they hope to keep him healthy. And, our caller brought up how Nick Nurse did this, right? When he didn't play Kawhi in back-to-backs, they won a championship at Toronto. But part of the reason to be excited is we thought this was the best roster that Joel ever had, right? He has Paul George now. They spent all summer chasing Paul George, last year saving cap room. I remember when the week they signed Paul George, the three of us had a conversation of their win total. And you guys thought they could be in the upper 50s or 60 wins. That's a number one seed. Like, I'm entering a season already knowing that's out the window. It's out the window. They're not going to be the number one seed. Now, it doesn't mean they can't win in the playoffs as a 2 or 3 or 4 seed. But, like, it's hard to get excited that way. Also, one last thing. Don't tell me centers can't play a lot of games. Nikola Jokic has played 70 games, all but one of his entire career. Joel has never played 70 games. It's not just you're big, you can't play. Obviously, Joel, his health has been a problem. It always is. And last thing, and then Kyle has something to say. I just hope they're not covering up he re-injured himself in the Olympics, because that is a disaster for him and the Sixers. And people are going to lose their minds because he played 39 games as a Sixer last year, and then he went to the Olympics. I just hope it's not that, because that is such a bad look.
It's also worth noting that I think who JD was reacting to were like the Mad Mikes of the world who say he's fat, he's lazy, you know, screw him, this and that, which is, sort of a caricature of, I think, how Philadelphians actually feel about the Sixers and Embiid right now. It's just frustrating that here we are again after this offseason of like, wow, we finally made like the one move that we've been held back and shackled from the Tobias Harris contract. And now all of a sudden, like, it's going to be the best chance the Sixers ever have at winning a title with Joel Embiid and Paul George. And we knew that the one singular thing that could derail the Sixers from having a great season on their own is the injuries to the big three players. And now it's like, here we are again, already, before the first game of the season even starts, where not only is Joel Embiid not playing, but there's no transparency whatsoever from the organization about what's going on, why it's going on, when's he going to, like, all of this stuff. It's like, are we really doing this again with this guy? And the season hasn't even begun yet. It's just so unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah, that's the kicker right there. It has everything to do with we're starting the season the way we ended last season.
It's the vagueness. I mean, not one person has been angry about Paul George, right? Mm-hmm. We saw him hurt himself, unfortunately. I mean, luckily, it doesn't seem to be serious. But all right, hyperextended knee. Hopefully, it's a couple weeks and he's back and he's fine. I can understand that. This is like baloney. Like, someone's got to come out. Morey should speak today. Daryl Morey should speak and say, this is what the plan is, or this is what's going on. Our doctors prescribed this. We think this is the best way based on the whole last year of his injury history. Okay, explain it. Don't just the day before the first game say, actually, he's out. We'll reevaluate him this weekend. Reevaluate what? He had surgery.
That's the thing, the what. What would you reevaluate?
You know, I'm not a doctor, but if you have surgery, when you're done with the surgery, and you come back, he's already played in the playoffs and the Olympics since the surgery. What are they ramping up from? Wasn't the ramp up to play in the playoffs? Wasn't the ramp up to then play in the Olympics? It doesn't make any sense. Like,
and then it doesn't help that there's been, I don't want to say they've been untruthful, but they've played it close to the vest when it comes to Joel Embiid and his health.
Yes.
Because we're still dealing with the fact that when he had the knee surgery, how long it took him to come back from that. So, yeah, it's a little bit all of that. But, to JD's point, when Buddy plays, he does play. He puts it all out there, but still, it's not a good place. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good feeling knowing that your number one guy going into the season, you're getting ready for the season. Paul George is unfortunately hurt, and now he's hurt. Just feels like last year, eerily similar to last year.
Yeah, it feels like his whole career. Let's go to Pete in Vegas. What's up, Pete?
Hey, gentlemen. Good to talk to you.
You too, Pete. What's up, buddy?
First of all, Hugh, eat your hot dog any way you feel like it, sir. Don't listen to this they-them generation. You eat it the way you want to.
You say the they-them. That's crazy.
I'm feeling good about the Eagles, and I'm going to tell you why. We got something I saw on Sunday that I haven't seen in a long time, and that's leadership. What Saquon Barkley did on that sideline for the benefit of his teammates is going to reverberate through that locker room, and it just felt good to see that someone was pro-team and not all about me. So I'm feeling good about what the Birds are going to do as we head on. You know, we needed those wins. The defense got a couple of, you know, tune-up fights under their belt, so now we're going to see what really happens as we move along.
I like the way you framed that, Pete. Those were tune-ups, right? They were like playing, you know, facing tomato cans as a boxer, and now you got to face some heavyweights.
Tomato can.
Yeah.
Get some tune-up fights under your belt, fight a couple of ham and eggers. Now we're going to step up our competition a little bit, see what we need to do.
I like that, Pete. Good phone call. Yeah, the Giants and Browns were ham and eggers. I mean, that's now you're going to face heavyweights with the Cincinnati Bengals and Burrow and then teams they got coming up the next 6 weeks here. I'm looking forward to this game on Sunday. This game...
It's a measuring stick.
It really is, and I think the two teams are pretty similar. Like, they started off a little choppy. They've gotten better, but how much of it is because they both played the same teams last couple weeks with the Giants and the Browns? Similar team.